Alrighty, folks, Blind Bargains Cast 147. We're going to get this done in about 3 minutes because Patrick just made me turn off the air conditioning and it's like 95 million degrees. Oh, hey, guys.
That's not my problem.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday to Patrick.
Hey, Joe.
Joe's over there. How's it going? Yeah. It's a little cooler in Charlotte than it is in Kalamazoo. How the heck?
That's weird,
that
isn't
happen?
It? It was 97. Very strange. I'm a Memorial Day.
Got rain clouds crazy. Over here. That's what's giving me a little bit more cooler kind of situation.
We could
a lot
use
cooler
that.
Than Texas. I remember doing years and years of podcasts in a hot room because of that very thing. So those of you who like our shows to be a little shorter, minus an interview, you get your wish, especially during the summer.
You know, we're like probably averaging 5-10 minutes shorter shows this year, which is, I don't know. I mean, it gives me more time to watch the
baseball.
Tigers lose. Hey, you know, or... Golden State and Cleveland,
fan,
it's the first time. Golden State Cleveland is the first time that they've been in the NBA Finals since 2016.
That's a real surprise there.
2017.
Sure.
You could talk about it with your friends in Morse code. We've kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier from the Google I.O. keynote. Yes, a little more audio from that. This is really cool. It's the Gboard keyboard. Hey, it rhymes. Look at that. I think they kind of invented that.
Uh-huh.
And we are talking to Amit Patero and Nicole Bluel. So I apologize if I butchered those names, but they are some really awesome people, and they helped create the Morse code keyboard. We went by their little sandbox demo, or I did, and we tried it out with TalkBack, and it worked quite well. So we did a quick little recording of that. So that is coming up this week.
And also this week, by the time you are listening to this episode, NVDA Con 2018 will be in full session and full swing. We invited Joseph Lee to come over and talk about NVDA Con, and some of the amazing things are happening over there with the open source screen reader. Also, probably something that you're playing with at the moment, I know I'm extremely happy about it, is iOS 11.4, and I'm happy not for the reasons that's mentioned in these release notes. No, my friends. There was a wonderful little bug where if you used VoiceOver in Siri, you could lock up your phone. That seems to be gone. In fact, the phone seems a lot more responsive now under 11.4, so that's a little much a important thing, especially if
we
you
have
use
a
an iPhone as a daily driver.
We have a request that came in from Frank that we if we could do an iOS 12 prediction show. Oh no, he said he didn't want us to do an iOS 12 prediction show.
He didn't want us
show.
To do that. Yeah. My predictions about iOS 12 is that I'm tired of people predicting what's going to happen with iOS 12.
Oh wait, that's next week's show, but we don't have to predict. That'll be live.
Nope, don't have to predict it. We will predict that we will have WWDC wrap-up coverage.
Yes.
But beyond that no. But HomePod pairing, that's very good. If you bought two HomePods, because
$700, right?
In stereo.
There you go.
Yeah.
But AirPlay 2, some AirPlay 2 stuff is there, and you can be like, hey, Siri, play this upstairs, and that's kind of cool. If you are
got an AirPlay 2 enabled kind of thing. So like if you have an Apple TV, when you update your Apple TV, it asks you to name where it is, where it resides within your home. So mine is sitting in the living room, and so I could say, trigger word, Siri, play so-and-so on living room or in the living room, and it would do that because it would recognize
it. It works kind of like it does on Alexa. And of course, the thing is, to use Joe's term that he uses like every single episode or so, if you know, depending on which ecosystem you are in, and there is at least three or four, there's app for speakers, you know, even more than anything else. There's the Google / Chromecast, there's Apple, there's the Alexa, and there's Sonos, and a little bit of crossover between Sonos and Alexa.
Sonos actually has some crossover here too, because Bang & Olufsen, I used to sell those. BMW and a whole bunch of others are going to support AirPlay 2, but you probably have to buy new hardware, including Sonos.
And so is the Sonos One. And a couple of the other newer speakers with the Play Bar, and there's going to be some Sonos stuff. So we talked about
that. But if you've got older ones, you may have to move that into a different room. And
correct.
Newer ones.
Yes. As long as you have some of the Sonos stuff, if you're not sure what we're talking about with Sonos, go for the Joe Goes on a Cruise episode when he left and Shelly and I just started talking about speakers forever at the end of last year. And we can tell you a little more about how Sonos works. But yes, that will get AirPlay 2 as well. So you can kind of... can you do it on AirPlay 2? Can you now, do you have to keep your phone in the house is the question, because that was the big knock on AirPlay is your phone. You know, the thing I like about Chromecast.
Yeah, you kind of said it. Yeah, because it utilizes the Home app from what I understand.
Right.
So the Home app is doing kind of the driving, kind of the same way your iPhone, even more than your iPad, drives your Apple Watch and everything else.
What's so cool about Chromecast is you can start up a movie on Netflix or on Spotify, you know, or whatever, music on Spotify, and you didn't leave, and it will just keep going. So, I mean, that's the cool thing there. And that's still why I do like that setup. And of course, you know, it's the whole different set of dongles and devices and things like that. So, you know, can't buy them all, folks.
How far you live inside that walled garden, and you'll be able to see over the top and wave at others. Or
yeah, but I mean, as cynical you are, I'm pretty big into a Google wall garden as well. So I mean, there's some differences in that. There's some iOS app compatibility with some of the Google stuff, but I guess there's an Apple Music app for Android now, isn't there?
Two, three gets a little bit flaky because you know it's you have your primary and your secondary and then the other one. So I don't know. It's three can be very, very challenging. Mm. I can tell you why some people would stay with the iOS ecosystem. They might just stay over there because, well, Seeing AI has an update. They've been churning them out here lately. And so the new update has a lot more in the case of recognition for currency and other languages, including rupees, which is pretty neat.
Did it say Indian rupees?
Correct. That's the
currency. Not Russian rupees. Okay.
No, that's rubles.
Okay. I was going to say our conversation a couple minutes ago was about as meandering as Seeing AI on short text mode. But
no, yes, especially in the grocery store. Now,
so yes, better support for landscape mode, I guess, as well,
really helpful for those of us who use iPads and live in landscape mode. I was one of the people requesting this since about September last year. So
I'm used to port. I'm so used to portrait.
Low vision people will use landscape mode because it's easier to hold when you're holding onto a giant iPad.
Keyboard is too stretched out for me in landscape mode. I got a TV app on my phone and the keyboard, and it makes you do everything in landscape. So you're right. It must be a low vision thing. But yes. You know, again,
huge
free. Seeing AI is still free. As we mentioned last week, Seeing AI, or at least part the OCR engine being used in things like the CyberEyes glasses. So they're kind of starting to license that tech out. And I'm sure there are other mainstream uses that are using some of the Seeing AI tech. It's a great showcase for them, which is, I'm sure,
and HoloLens. Because
so what is this? HoloLens can now guide the blind through complicated buildings. Uh-huh.
And so it's using the spatial recognition features within the HoloLens, kind of the mapping with inside a room, as well as things like Soundscape from, it doesn't directly call it that, but it sounds a lot like Soundscape is being involved in this app that people are using with HoloLens to have self-guidance or even assistant guidance while wearing HoloLens. If you're not familiar with HoloLens, this is not exactly Google Glass. It's Microsoft's version of assistive AI that you wear on your head. It's been around for several years. It just got an update. In fact, the mixed reality viewer just got an update in the latest Windows 10 update. And the idea is that you can do a lot of things through augmented reality with HoloLens. And it kind of knows where you are when you turn your head. It knows where you are in relation to a room. So imagine that if you were visual, you wanted to look at your calendar, but you didn't want to hang up a wall calendar. With HoloLens, you could see through the lens that's there, turn to your left, and you could see your wall calendar kind of floating there. And you could do different things like you could have sculptures where you wouldn't really have room for sculptures. One of the demonstrations is a bird sitting on a banister on a stairwell. And after a while, the bird starts interacting with you or noticing you. This is one of the apps that they can run. And you just think that the bird is there. In fact, people have reported taking the headset off and still seeing the bird there. It's messed with their perception reality. Microsoft has done this also to simulate things like the Martian landscape, or they've used it to do things like what we know of with Aira and Be My Eyes, where somebody is remotely walking you through something. One of the first commercial versions I saw after Google Glass was HoloLens. So this app that's being talked about here is something that I was hoping HoloLens would become, which is a guidance in mobility to let you know where you are within the room and then to give you things like soundscapes to give you more landmarks.
Yeah, and that's part of the balance with all this stuff, right? If you're going to have this entire immersive experience, I really like to hear my surroundings. And so that's one of the things that they say. Well, this is still a very emerging technology. Right now, it can't detect people.
That's okay. Kind of a problem.
That's something that you've got to work on. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, blind people have different ideas of what is needed. Someone who's newly blind might think that an app that can get them from their chair to the bathroom would be really useful, where someone who is been blind their whole life or is more used to traveling might want an app to get them around an airport by themselves. So it means that obviously there's lots of different types of use cases. You kind of have to examine these types of things.
Like, totally agree with that. And it's a debate that's happening right now with O&M and certain apps and technologies and people relying on that instead of learning basic core skills, or is it an eroding of skills if you're relying on technology too much? Yeah,
that's anyone who drives, most people who drive use a GPS. They still have to look at the road. For now. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, not, but GPS is not a replacement for driving. So, I mean, I kind of think it's the same way with a cane, you know, in a lot of this stuff. So,
well, like, again, I think it's some people thought that autopilot on Teslas meant that they could get in the back and eat a bucket of chicken. So, you know, some people believe what they want to believe when it comes to technology as well. So that's kind of a scary thought. Also, something that's very scary is the idea that your screen reader was using Internet Explorer as its basic default. That's going to change with Dolphin and Supernova as far as they're concerned. Chrome support comes around in Dolphin Supernova 17. I'm extremely happy to see this. Chrome is becoming a very big part of the web and how many people do work or how they live within the web. So Dolphin adding support to Chrome gives me a little bit more comfort because it's not relying on IE for the rest of their lives.
It's just the same as the window eyes problem in the past, where it's probably a feature that should have been added a year or two. I'm very thankful it's here now, but you know, sometimes when you have a little less resources, it takes a little longer to get things like this. And you know, when Chrome support should have been there a while ago, but it's very cool that it's there. Brilliant 14 support, which also means Harpo Braille Pen 14 support. Ah, there you go. That's obviously, you know, those two are kind of linked a bit. And we, you know, with the Brilliant 14, by the way, it seems to be coming soon. Windows Mail app support.
Yep. So and those of you who are relying on the built-in Windows Mail app and
17, I thought they were, I didn't realize they were that high on version numbers.
Very much so. So that is available now for those who are already users of Dolphin. Remember, there is a trial. So if you have never used Dolphin before and you want to get an idea of how that support works, there is, of course, the version that is very comparable to Fusion, one that is very much like ZoomText Magnifier Reader, and one that is just like ZoomText Magnifier. So you have a screen magnifier with limited speech and the full suite. Also, Braille support comes in the full suite. So you might want to look at those feature sets before you download a version of Supernova to make sure it's the version you want.
Well, there's been a lot of talk lately about guide dogs and service animals and support animals on airplanes and airlines trying to make regulations for things like this. And, well, the U.S. Department of Transportation has now taken notice to try to amend the regulations for service animals on flights. And neither of us have dogs or parakeets.
No.
So,
but it's something we should ask Buddy. If we bring Buddy on to talk about Apple thingies, this might be a good thing.
Yeah, if we have a bounce off, and depending on how WWDC goes, we may actually have extra time.
So if it goes really short, we'll be talking about guide dogs next week. I'm just,
but really, but definitely curious what you all think about this. I mean, the more immediate thing that these things are really trying to take care of are things that are not guide dogs. So the aim, in my mind at least, is to do this in a way that doesn't limit the rights of guide dog owners and helps regulate a little bit the emotional support animals, which, can get a little out of hand, you know, the things that you can bring on a plane or whatever. So, you know, if we do it in a way that doesn't...
Some press on this was about confusion on mini horses and that some people didn't realize there were guide horses. And it was really interesting to read articles about people who are not familiar with that.
Well, who decides what is a guide animal? Like, there are laws, right? And it's pretty much say that cover dogs.
Well, I've met a couple of horse guides.
If I wanted to have a guide cow.
One in Florida that goes to ATIA all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, I know they exist, but, you know, but I'm just saying, you know.
It's not a guide peacock.
If I'm a blind person, I want a guide thing. Is there a list somewhere? I hope someone comes up with an answer to this because I'm just being ignorant.
Some people feel very strongly about guide horses because they have a longer lifespan that you don't have to retrain as often.
Sure, that makes sense. And maybe they should be allowed or whatever. I just, so hopefully we can get some clarification.
Yeah, it's fascinating the way that people approach things like, socks made for the blind. Some people might want those.
Yeah, where did this come from? I was doing this before the show. It's like, you're looking for like the kicker.
It's a cool blind tech story, actually.
The end of the story.
I liked it.
So, you know, I was kind of just doing that. And finally, a Korean company has decided to make socks for the visually impaired. For more, so tell us more, Joe.
Righty tighty lefty loosey. That's how you know. No. That's if you're gonna, you know, work on plumbing and you're gotta turn something with a wrench.
They're actually for colors. Actually for colors. It looks like. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and Hyundai, and in a partnership, thought that they were helping out. This isn't the first time that's been tried, though. That's the funny thing is while there is a ability to know which one is left and which one is right, other people have tried this before, like actually doing different textures on the top of the socks, or even going so far as to say sewing Braille labels with inside them, so that way you knew which one was which. And
well. Yeah.
I could see why some people would want this because
especially again, if you buy those packages of like, I mean, I don't know about you, but if, when I buy socks,
tube socks, like just tube socks.
Yes. But when I buy socks in general, I usually will buy a package of all one color. I'm not going to buy the assorted because I'm going to be worried that they're going to get all mixed up. Now, I don't know if I go as far as saying when they say, so citing a survey for 6 months, we found out that the blind and visually impaired struggle the most when selecting socks daily. Oh, yeah, that's certainly the biggest struggle I can think
it's
of.
It's right up there for me on the big list of things that I struggle with in life. Although I have often said that I'm style impaired as well as visually impaired. So that is true.
Maybe that kind of fits along. Apparently, the brand is called I Hate Mondays.
Right direction.
And this was launched on Disabled Persons Day in Korea, which, by the way, apparently is on 420. I don't know what that means, but there it is. It was on April 20th.
That's a whole nother story for another time, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we say that with so much more still to come up around the corner. Not only do we have WWDC, Scott isn't here, I can say it. And of course, E3 the week after, where I think BGFH and I and maybe Michael Fear will sit down and kind of give an idea of what happened with the big conventions for Sony, Microsoft, and others. And then, of course, we've got right around the corner the hardware events too, right after summer convention. So there's still so much more to go in this year before we have to start casting an ear towards this year in assistive technology. So we've got a lot coming up. And on this particular episode, we've got more to hear from Google I.O. Is this the last of our Google I.O. coverage?
Yes, this is the end of the Google, well, for 2018.
For the moment. Yeah, for the 2018. Gotcha. Okay. Not the last of our Google coverage. You know what? My Shield tablet updated to Oreo. So I can actually do Oreo thingies, which I thought was kind of cool because I didn't think that was going to get it. So the tablet that I recommended, more than a year ago for updates and doing Android testing went to Oreo. It's kind of misleading, though, because it says it's NVIDIA System 7 software, but it's actually 8 Underground in the background. So someone had asked me about what tablets they should consider, and all I've been saying is Pixel phones. Because we don't know what's going to be Android P friendly yet. So more to talk about in the future as P gets to become more real, probably by the hardware events, I would think.
So of course, that Apple stuff coming up first. We'll have that the next week's show. Be sure to come back for, I know it's usually one of our most popular shows of the year. That's next week in Apple. Right now, though, yeah, let's go to Google. And then we're going to do some little bit of NVDA as well. So stay tuned for that and some Kentucky Fried goodness and more coming up a little bit later. Oh, and a Baum update, another Baum update coming in from a listener as well. So stay tuned. Much more on episode 147 of the Blind Bargains Cast. Well, first, let's go back to Mountain View. We are here, last day of Google I.O. I have found Amit Pataru and Nicole Bilal.
Blue,
yes. Now, this is one of the really cool, interesting things from the keynote. They were using the Google keyboard, but inputting in Morse code. I found this. We've turned on TalkBack, and it's running here right now on a phone. Really cool to see you. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah.
So describe to me what we have, and then we'll play with this.
Well, this is a Morse code keyboard. It's running on the beta version of Gboard. Sundar actually mentioned the product in his keynote. He talked about a collaboration between the Gboard team and developer Tanya Finlayson, who has been actually using Morse code to communicate for almost 40 years, and she's been specifically developing devices in the assistive tech and Morse code space for herself and others to be able to use Morse code.
So it's really interesting what we have here. You've taken, I guess, the kind of like a switch input device. There's a device over here with two buttons in front of me, one for dot and one for dash. And you, is this Bluetooth into the...
Yeah, that device is Bluetooth.
Okay, but obviously it doesn't have to be this. It could be on the screen itself,
exactly.
or it could be just through, can you use like a regular Bluetooth keyboard and assign keys to dot and dash as well? Or
you could. The thing that's special about this keyboard is that it has two input ports for assistive tech switches, so that 8-inch assistive tech switch that a lot of switches use, you can connect it to this device and then follow that through into the phone.
And the cool thing we found out here is if a switch user also happens to be a talkback user, well, it all works together. Let's just play with this. I have this in front of me. I don't know Morse code very well. Let's see. Give me a word like hello. What?
So hello. So H is four dots.
Okay. So this is dot.
Yep.
All right. So we're gonna do this fast. Do 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 do.
Capital H.
All right.
E is a dot.
Oh, that's funny. But at the same time, it put up the predictive.
Yeah, it is on
yes,
the predictive.
It is on the predictive.
Okay, so E is what? One dot?
Yes.
E.
And L?
Dot, dash, dot, dot.
Dot, that, dot, that.
L, hello.
And again, I couldn't... So would I touch the phone if I wanted to... How would I do a predictive?
So there's you're going to have to learn that there's like a special Morse code to activate the predictive. And the Morse code is dot, dot, dash, 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 dash.
So you guys have kind of built these in... Custom.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
And there is the rest of hello. Yeah. And that already put the space in, right?
Yep.
That's really cool. So not only can you do the regular typing, I didn't even realize this until we started recording, we could do the predictive text input as well. And I guess there's gestures or inputs, Morse code inputs for other things, like if you wanted to do space, if I wanted to clear the text, right? That's really cool how you've kind of integrated all of these into just two buttons, dot and dash.
Yeah.
This is all available. Is it available now, or what's the setup here?
Yeah, this keyboard is currently available in the beta version of Gboard, which is a public and open beta that anyone can sign up. You just go into the Play Store and search for Gboard, and all the way at the bottom, opt into being a part of the beta.
And it happens to either work with TalkBack or without. So you like there was a command that we could have it read back the word, right? What is that?
Yeah, that's a dot dash dot dash.
Dot dash dash dash.
Morse text speech demo WebView Pro. Editing. Hello.
There it goes.
Edit box, type here.
And obviously, this is all open source, and then, you know, sometimes you have it speaking and TalkBack is speaking, so working out how that goes together. But it being open source, this can all be improved and such.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's actually a website. If you go to
g.co/Morse,
there is this app and also a trainer app that helps people learn Morse in about 20 to 40 minutes, we learned here. And then, we're encouraging people to build more things for the community, and that page will also include submissions from the community at large.
Which is really cool, but I don't think a lot of us have these actual switch input devices, but we probably have other ways that we can input. Have you looked into more, say, mainstream devices? Like, for instance, Bluetooth headsets have a couple different buttons on them, or other ways to perhaps input into the Gboard?
We haven't looked into any other specific devices. There's a lot of them out there, as you mentioned. We do know that because it's Gboard, anything that can send letters into Gboard, so anything that's perceived as an external keyboard by Android would work.
Technically speaking, what is this? What is it sending? Like the dot and the dash? Are they certain codes? Or
it's actually sending a dot and a dash.
so the period and the dash. Okay.
Exactly. Like
shocking.
Exactly. Like this,
I guess,
switch,
it makes way more sense than it should.
It's basically, we didn't want to invent a new protocol, and so there's so many devices, assistive devices as well, that
right,
you can program them to send any key command you want. And so we just thought, well, we'll use that.
That makes sense. So if you were to connect a full-size Bluetooth keyboard and you press the dot and the dash, you got it.
Exactly. We're seeing, we worked on this project together with Tanya Finlayson, who's been using Morse code for communication for many years now, 30 years now. She really showed us what to do. We were clueless. She really, really led the project in terms of explaining to us what needs to go in there. And so a lot of the features that she needed, the timing features and those types of things, we just put them into Gboard. But now that it's in Gboard, it's really accessible to anybody who'd like to try it out.
And there's settings that you can control, like the delay of and how fast you would input and things like that? Or?
Yes, exactly. Like how fast the word would commit after you type the Morse code.
Because I imagine she types faster than me.
She's pretty fast. And also, she uses like auto-repeat, so if she like hangs on one of the switches, then it'll start repeating the dots or the dashes, which is an economical way for her to get stuff in. And by the way, her husband created a he's an awesome do-it-yourself hacker. He's going to post on this website we mentioned an Arduino, little Arduino project where you can create your own switches and do your own things. That's going to be really, really fun for people to just very cheaply go and create their own switches and hook it up into Android.
Lots of fun. Again, that's g.co/Morse, M-O-R-S-E, right?
Yeah,
correct, yeah. And there's the video that gives a little more history of the story and the collaboration with Tanya and Ken is also on that website. So if you didn't get a chance to see it in Sooner's keynote on Tuesday, definitely check it out there.
Hey, thank you so much. This is very exciting to look at.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with us.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast.
Blind Bargains episode 147. Thank you so much for listening. We've talked a lot over the past couple of years about NVDA Con, an actual event held online that you can tune into and interact with to learn more about the NVDA screen reader. And actually do a lot more. It's come a long way since its founding in 2014. Joseph Lee is a person who pretty much helped get this whole thing started and is still involved with the conference and here to talk about it. Joseph, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys for inviting me to speak about NVDA Con today.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. If you're listening right now and you just downloaded this podcast right after it was released, NVDA Con is happening this weekend. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what's happening and what's going on?
So NVIDIA Con 2018, this is our fifth annual NVIDIA Users and Developers Conference. That's the full name for this gathering. So there are many interesting sessions going on. We have NVIDIA experts coming along to talk about their feelings about NVIDIA, how it has come over the years and what they have in store for the future. The highlight, though, is an actual keynote by NVAccess where they will be talking about how far NVIDIA has come for the last, say now, right now it's 12 years, what they have right now, as well as thinking about and outlining their plans and the plans for the community. In fact, they will be listening to plans from the community for the future progress of the screen reader.
That's actually a theme of the conference this year, future-proofing NVDA. What is that all about?
As you may know, for many listeners, NVDA has come a long way. We have many people who contributed to many of its features, such as real support, Windows 10, obviously. NVDA was one of the first screen readers to support Windows 10, as well as Microsoft Edge support, supporting for Outlook, PowerPoint, and many, many, many things. But the innovation does not stop there. The goal of NVDA is equal access to technology, and to achieve that, we are thinking about how to serve users and the community at large better by thinking about investing time and talents today so that NVIDIA can become a great screen reader in the future and can become part of more lives in days to come.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I know a lot of the interest in NVDA comes from contributing to it. And I know there's sometimes people think that they have to be a crazy advanced programmer or whatnot to be a part of the contribution community or be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. So one of the sessions will be all about tech support and contributions. I'm actually going to lead that this year. For those who listen to past NVDA cons, you'll know me talking about Windows 10 stuff. But this year, I'll be talking about how people who are not developers can help users. Last year at NVIDIA Con 2017, our newest developer, Reef Turner, who's from NVAccess, spoke about how non-coders can give feedback and can help shape NVIDIA through bug reports, translations, and whatnot. And I'll be expanding upon that this year. The stance of NVAccess and the NVIDIA community is that we welcome contributions from non-coders as well as from developers who do have talents, in that they don't have to know all the ins and outs of programming to help shape NVDA. They can file bug reports, they can test new builds as they come out almost on a nightly basis. People can translate NVDA to their languages. As of this moment, we have over 54 languages And that people can write documentations, write tutorials, or even volunteer to serve as a tech support gurus on various NVDA forums so that it can help shape NVDA in the future.
What about people that are currently or were previously using other screen readers? What do you think is the biggest either roadblock, or what would you say to someone who's thinking about switching to NVDA or how they might approach that?
So what we can say is that a lot of barriers have been brought down in recent years. We have people who use their talents to come up with more human-sounding speech synthesizers, such as a nuanced vocalizer, receive help from Microsoft in making sure that latest speech synthesizers for Windows 10 or Windows One Core voices are supported by NVDA. So right now, that's one barrier that's coming down a lot, although there are some people who prefer to see more human naturally speaking voices. The other one would be lack of professional program support, such as advanced features of Access, Visual Basic in Microsoft Office, LibreOffice, although that's changing. Although I think the biggest roadblock right now is the notion, I think, that NVDA isn't a good fit for certain corporate environments. But I'm sure that will change as we continue to work hard on supporting more professional apps in coming months and years.
Yeah, you started this along with some others in 2014. How did that go initially as far as NVDAcon, and how did you get the members of the NV Access team involved? What was their initial reaction to it?
So the foundation for NVIDIACon wasn't in 2014 per se. For those, some of you who listened to my voice, you may recognize me many, many years ago when I was leading several BroNote chats in late 2000s. That gave me inspiration for the open forum where we dedicate one or two sessions at NVIDIACon where people can talk about anything. And then in 2014, somebody asked me and other NVDA people, would there be some kind of a talk or like a conference call where we can talk about translation issues? And somebody did ask around that time after my first Welcome to NVDA tutorial edition was published in 2013, would there be some kind of a user chat for NVDA? And I sat down one day in 2014, I thought, why don't I combine my experiences together into a huge conference? Modeled after things such as Apple's WWDC, which is happening next week, various Python conferences or PyCon and whatnot. And that led to organizing the first ever NVIDIACon in at least a short notice in March 2014, which was actually a great success. And after that, since then, every year there has been at least one NVIDIACon every year hosted by the international community, along with other ones held hosted by either local communities or by region.
And again, this is all online. If you're listening this weekend, you can go on. Is it pretty much on voice chat that you can go participate?
Yes, by TeamTalk. That's the avenue we'll be using.
And for those of you who maybe not haven't used TeamTalk lately, there's clients on iOS and Android now, as well as Windows and Mac, so you can get to it lots of different ways. After this weekend, if you're listening to our podcast later on, there's archives as well, correct?
Yes, there will be archive. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And what's the website for people to get more information or to get involved, or what's the best way for them to do that?
The NVIDIACon website is www.nvidiacon, all one word, NVDACON. .org.
Awesome. And do you guys have a Twitter hashtag or username, anything like that going on?
Yes. For those who are keen on following us on social media, we have Twitter presence that is at NVIDIACon, all one word. Same as the conference name itself.
Of course. Okay, doesn't get much simpler than that. Very cool to see all the support and exposure for NVDA and to see this conference blossom over the years. Thank you so much for coming on, Joseph.
Sure. You're welcome as always.
You might be looking at your finances and saying, hey, I got a wedding to plan. Oh, wait, no, that's me. So you might be looking at your finances and saying, man, I don't know if I can fit in travel this year or not.
I didn't get an invite.
There's none to be had yet.
Oh, because it hasn't planned.
Yeah. Yes. No, I just paid off the engagement ring. So starting off slow and happy to have the engagement ring paid off. So that means it's real. But the travel for the year has kind of looked a little different. And so One of the things you might want to do is, you know, travel in your mind, if not with your body, out to various places. And this is a new app I saw on the App Store just recently for iOS. Has to be using the latest version of iOS 11.3 or higher. If you have that installed, you can listen to 3D soundscapes on an app called Travel Ear. And in there is rainstorms in various places. You can hear Italy. One of the ones I thought was fascinating was you could actually listen to riding the tube through London. I know for our UK listeners, you're like, whatever.
Change for the Jubilee line. Mind
the gap between the train and the platform.
But it was kind of neat to be able to hear where RNIB was and that the tube announces it. And you can hear that while wearing earbuds because they've done some 3D technology to be able to try and kind of sim. It's different than binaural. It sounds a little different to binaural than me, but. One of the best ways you want to do is some of those buttons are unlabeled, so you want to find the list button as fast as you can, and once when you get it into list, you can get to a lot of these and listen to the audio. It is pretty neat. It is free, and I'm sure it's going to be like all the other apps that use soundscapes or rainstorms or environmental sounds. They'll eventually start charging for packs. But for the moment, it's totally cool.
And these are professional recordings and everything, too. It's not just like, you know, some random person that went out. Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, and maybe they'll charge for them in the future.
Some of the beach stuff is great because it goes from left ear to right ear and you can hear kids.
I'm going to New Orleans. The
there is a New Orleans, clip.
I've seen it.
There's a New Orleans clip. It's totally, totally cool.
The jazz-filled New Orleans.
You got a bunch there to listen to for free. It'll keep you entertained for a while. It may even give you an idea where you want to travel to in the future. So that's Travel Ear. That's the traditional spelling of travel. TRAVELEAR.
Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
So remember last week we had a comment about, or we had some news about Baum. Well, we got a comment that came in on the website. Also a bit more of an update from David Bradburn talking about, yes, it is confirmed. It looks like mid-summer they're going to actually start making these things. Who is the they? Well, Chris S., he said, hello, I am from Germany, and the slogan you have translated is correct. New company is located in Genia. It sounds like it's some of the people that were part of the old Baum have founded this new company. So like they kind of did a reorg.
Huh, okay.
And,
which makes sense.
Right. Kind of reminds me of like Mentella Sensory, kind of, you know.
The first time TSI reformed before they eventually turned into InfoSil. Yeah.
Genia is a city. So the new company is located in Genia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So it's in the same city as the old one. He said, I don't know more, but if I learn more, I will let you know. Sorry, my English isn't so good. That's okay. Just want to let you know that people outside the USA listen to your podcast and visit your site. We appreciate that. So thanks, Chris. We really appreciate that. Christian, however you want to go by. And so thanks for the update. And we'll keep our ear to the ground and maybe they'll learn some more as well. And so definitely exciting to see that it seems like there is a future for Baum, which, you know, I put it at maybe 30-40% myself, and that was being a little optimistic, so I'm glad that it's happening. So
I'm glad there's like a future. That's
we
don't need to lose any more players, right?
Yeah. Right, as far as we can tell. So we'll see where this goes.
There's something to be said about the quality of Braille display, and you know, there's a lot of people who write in to tell us when the new Orbitz go on sale. Like Stan Luttrell wrote in and said, "Hey, there's Orbitz up again." That is great. I am thrilled that there are Orbitz out there and that people are able to get them for now. But at the same time, there are, you know, dozens of car models out there. And not everybody drives the same kind of car. So it's important that we have differences in Braille displays and features and quality and durability and whatever you're looking for. If there's a market for it and you can find it, doggone it, you should have it. That's just kind of the way I think about it. Rebecca Skipper wrote in and said that she was thrilled that she waited and updated JAWS 2018 to the latest Firefox and said that she thinks it's been doing just fabulous and worth the wait. So Rebecca usually pops in with some good ideas about what's going on out there.
You had mentioned in passing as we were debugging our website, which I've broken and we've refixed again. You said you were still on ESR, the extended support
release.
Is that is that for a reason or for laziness?
I would say right now it's because I know the behavior and I'm troubleshooting a Zoom text issue. And because I'm also using Windows Next, there's a time as AT enthusiasts, as we are, that you sit down and think, how much do I feel like troubleshooting today? And how much do I want to get work done? You choose to do some nightlies and canaries, right? I'm using Windows Next and I'm in the fast ring. When I'm doing that, I kind of don't want to have to then sit down and think, was that a memory leak issue? Was that a Zoom text issue?
You can't do every beta, right? You can't. Sometimes I get you. No. Yeah.
So sometimes I just want the web to be the web so I can do what I need to do and move on. And so that's kind of why I'm doing it on.
Yeah. I mean, I have some programs that
actually
just work.
I actually do have Quantum on one of my, I think an i3 laptop. I have it there for testing purposes.
See, I mean, and I get you. I have some older programs and I know as much as we preach usually to say, hey, keep updated. I know I have some programs and sometimes you just want to get like, you open up a program and it's like, we have a new version. I'm like, get out of here. I'm just trying to do something simple. I know I'm not on the latest version of Notepad++. It's okay. Life will go on.
It's exactly it. When you open up your Android or your iOS app store and you hear brand new design. Yeah, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to hold off until
some
you
Facebook issues again on iOS, I guess.
My TV remote, that's one of my favorites because the Vizio SmartCast has this lovely tendency right now to forget the device that it's paired to, which is very uncomfortable when you're halfway across the room and Google Home doesn't want to talk to it. The app doesn't want to talk to it. And you leave the television remote under the television so you don't lose the television remote. So yeah, sometimes also when your Spectrum cable goes out and you're a wired home and you're down to 240K because of something they're deciding to fix, that too is not good for home automation, come to find out this weekend. So that was fun, asking Google for the time and getting it back 37 seconds later. Just so you know, kids, if we were on dial-up, it would take a long time to use Google Home. Just letting you know.
Yep.
You know, did you ever
I've already sidetracked from this league. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever eat a double down
from KFC?
A KFC double down. Yeah. Do you ever eat one
of them? Maybe. I'm not a huge KFC person. I'm more of a Long John Silver's or other chicken places.
Oh yeah. Crunchy bits. One of the things that KFC did for our listeners who are not familiar with what the double down is, take two lovely cooked KFC chicken breasts and then put sauce and cheese and whatever, most likely bacon, in between them.
Right.
And then form a sandwich with no bun.
Bread.
There's no bun on this.
That's the bread.
That's the bread. The chicken is the bread. So that was seen as pretty much a horror show for some people who already were afraid of fast food or may have watched Super Size Me, if you ever saw that. That's the documentary about the guy eating McDonald's for 30 days. So some people were just horrified that KFC had done this. Well, somebody decided to take this a step further and create the Skinwich, in which it was all conducted.
Is that just the skin?
Chicken skin, and turn it into a sandwich.
Fried?
Oh, yeah. So I have an article here that describes exactly what the Skinwich is and how the person feels very sad that they actually ended up making two of them. It wasn't
have
enough
you had tried chicken
it
the skin? First time. Have you had deep fried chicken skin?
I am not a fan of it. Ricky and
you just
Kyle
haven't had it right. I had it in Vegas during CES at like a small plates gourmet restaurant. And that was one of the appetizers. So we ordered it and it was really? Like, it's like this really thin, you know, doughy,
like
crispy, kind of like it, but it was, I think the key was the seasonings. So maybe that's what you're not, you know, it almost ends up being like seasoned, you know, if you put the right seasoning on chicken skin, it tastes delicious, right? So you
there's
just
that South Park
that
episode where Cartman eats all the KFC chicken skin and just leaves the chicken there for the rest of the guys to eat. And they get mad at him because he ate all the skin. Then he gets violently ill from eating all the skin. That would be Ricky and Kyle. They could do that. I am not. My mom took us to KFC and Jack in the Box as treats when we go into Houston because we lived outside of Houston. So I took a long time to warm up to KFC. And if I did, it was usually not traditional chicken. It was not like original or crispy. It was like, I love their baked beans. I always thought their beans were good.
Well, and you see, you do all that. I'm trying to eat healthier.
Oh, okay.
Right?
You're going keto on me? You dropping all the carbs?
No. I'm just trying a different type of milk.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what Soylent is made out of. Oh.
You know?
Dude, I can't believe you chose this. Oh.
It might be. I sent it to you, too. I tagged you. I'm trying to get you. You haven't tried this yet? Come on. This is a...
No, and I'm not apt to do so, probably.
Not cow, not goat, not...
Crazy Oreos.
Not, you know...
Yeah,
not,
none of that.
Whatever. No. Mm-hmm. Cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
This is cut right to the chase. Yes, cockroach milk. It is it apparently is a superfood.
Oh, I bet.
It is more nutritious than the most nutritious dairy milk of the same mass.
Mm-hmm.
Packed with protein, fats, and sugars. But it has to be, it's not just any cockroach. It's a specific cockroach that is bred in Hawaii.
Oh, good. That were wiped out by all the volcanoes, more than likely.
No, because
virtually nothing kills a cockroach. That's why, you know.
Right.
They're still probably around. Now with extra smoke and sulfur flavor. So
bug milk ice cream, Joe.
No, I do not believe that is a thing that I am interested in trying. I will try several Jones sodas before.
No. I'm going to give it to you and call it something else, and you're going to like it.
No.
Okay.
This is not something you do to a friend, or at least a co-host. One of the two. I'm not really sure about that. We've had some trends.
I will host on the Blind Bargain server.
Oh, no.
I will host on the Blind Bargain server the re-debut, reincarnation episode of End of Line if you drink this stuff.
There you go, EOL fans. If you're looking for a reunion, now you know what it will take. Not a Patreon. No. It's going to take a hell of a lot of advertising dollars.
I will buy it. I will pay for the cockroach milk. You can have it in ice cream form or maybe something else, whatever you prefer.
Thanks.
No? Happy to help you. No,
I'm telling you, that's exactly what Soylent is made out of. I'm just, we've had some trends on this show in this particular section. Cats, food, music. Insects is one that's starting to show up a lot more, dude. I'm just saying.
That's right. And we have the bug delicacies and things. Uh-huh. I picked that one too. Huh.
Yes, you did. I just thought I would
that's true.
I would throw a feeler out to you. Sorry. Oh, that bugs me. Anyway, thanks for our guests for coming on in. And
yes.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. And VDAcon is happening now at the time of if you've listened to this, the day it's downloaded.
When it's coming out.
What have you?
Yeah, the whole weekend. But everything's being recorded too. So if you caught this later on, you can go back and you can get it. So I thought it was really cool how they redid the, they were airing the keynote twice. And then they're going to come back on and take questions twice. Very cool stuff.
Sweet. And then Gboard, it was good to hear about Morse code and Gboard from people that were singled out during the I.O. conference. That was kind of neat.
That must have been a thrill for sure. I think just to be part of that. So we really, Amit and Nicole, so thank you so much for coming on. That was great and really fun. Like, kind of very spur of the moment. We weren't planning on it, interview, and we just kind of just did a quick little thing and it was lots of fun. So thank you so much.
That's good. And if you have an opportunity on the day of the keynote, which I think is June 4th, you may take part in an annual tradition that many on the internet know that I do, which is to say snarky things about Apple or Google or Microsoft, just whoever's doing a keynote. I have a tendency to post a whole bunch of tweets that are usually full of snark over at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. You're more than welcome to join and read along. Just be prepared, because not only do I do a bingo card, but I also have a tendency to be more opinionated than on this program, if you even thought that was possible.
I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, it is possible.
If you decide to complain that our website went down because I decided to run some server upgrades, that comes to twitter.com/blindbargains. Thanks for people that pointed that out. We got it fixed.
Yeah, that was fun to do right before the show.
Yeah, exactly. And whoever that wrote it on that, so do apologize for that. These things happen sometimes, but we are back up and running. So yes, that's at Blind Bargains on Twitter. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com, or you can comment on an episode of our show over at blindbargains.com whenever the website is working. And of course, these episodes and shows are produced by our company, our sister company, if you will, linked by the arms over at AT Guys. So go over to ATGuys.com if you want to buy some stuff and get ready for convention time. And again, happy birthday, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick Perdue, for making us sound much better than we actually are in person. All you have to do is meet us in person. You will realize that quite quickly. So thank you, Patrick, for all you do to make this show sound ever so much better. And also looking forward to all of you coming back for the WWDC wrap-up show. So we've got a whole bunch of fun stuff still to come up, and more keynotes, and more times me sitting with junk food in front of the computer watching people blather on for at least 2 hours. Yep, that's going to be my life for the next 2 weeks. Going to be fun.
That's going to do it, folks. Apple's next week. We'll see you next time.
Bye. This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.